the book of Revelation chapter 2, let's pray. Father, we plead now the precious blood of Christ. We want, oh God, to be hid behind the cross. Lord, if these people could forget that I'm here, Lord, would hear just the voice, as old John the Baptist, just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Lord, we don't desire to be seen. We just desire, oh God, that the message from heaven would fall from our lips this hour. You know what we need now, and Lord, you know that I need you. I plead, oh God, that thy Holy Spirit would empower me to preach that which would be pleasing in thy sight. Lord, help me not to say a thing that would be contrary to your will. May, Father, you please, be pleased to use this message to prick our hearts. And then, Lord, cause us even to be able to praise you from our hearts tonight, today when we're true. And we'll give you the glory to the best of our ability. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
The book of Revelation, chapter number 2 and verse number 4, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I want you to notice the phrase there, "I have somewhat against you." You have left, not lost.
Amen.
I want you to notice the terminology there.
Yeah.
He said, "You have left your first love." I want to speak to this afternoon on starting and stopping churches. Both of them are possible. Now, I speak as a pastor this afternoon that loves the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't do anything that is not centered around the church.
Amen.
Now, we got a lot of ministries over our place. We got a Christian school, and we got a camp ministry, and we got radio programs. And I don't want the world to have to come in and support the ministries of our church. I never appeal to the world to support our church. I don't even appeal to other saved people to support our church. I believe, brother, if we're doing God's will, and we're in the center of God's will, I believe God is bound by His Word to keep the church doors open if we're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I'll tell you, when we get out of the will of God, God is not bound to bless that which is contrary to the Word of God. He's bound by His precious Word to do what He's told us He'll do. And I got to looking at this church. Do you know, there is not a church in the New Testament that had the privileges that this church in Ephesus had. I got to look at the background of this church. And did you know old Paul, when he went to Ephesus, he did some things that we as God's children need to perform in our lives if we're going to see the blessings of God upon our churches. And I got to looking over in the book of Acts chapter number 18. In fact, if you'll go there and just let me throw out just a few little background thoughts, I'll get into my message. Old Paul went over there and found a bunch of so-called Christians that had been baptized based upon John's baptism, but they never had even heard about the Son of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And there go that tooth on me. That's all right, Mel, and I'm going to preach. But I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something this afternoon. They went over there and heard these messages, and somebody had preached John's baptism that forgot to tell what John preached about. Did you know John preached Jesus? He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I want you to know this afternoon that John pointed people in the direction of the Son of God. And it's not preaching if you don't point people to Christ. All we're doing is just getting up and saying a few words. And And so Paul told them about the Lord. They were baptized.
Yes,
and the church at Ephesus got started by the grace of God.
Yes.
And you'll notice that old Paul in the 17th chapter, or the 18th chapter rather, you'll notice in verse 24, he said a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. But you see, he hadn't been taught fully in the things of the Lord. And so he was set straight. And in chapter number 19, Paul is in Ephesus. And you'll notice in chapter number 8, Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading. We need to do both of those. Disputing and persuading the faith concerning God, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. Before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. I believe I preached over Brother Dwight's one time. You'll notice it says they spake evil of that way. The way of Jesus is different from any other way. I brought out that you're either out of the way, or you're in the way, or you're on the way, but you're in a position one way or the other with Christ.
Amen.
And so Paul preached. Now, look over chapter number 19, verse number 18. Many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. His preaching took hold, man.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't bouncing off the top of heads. Paul preached something that everybody understood. Now, I don't know what got into it, but they began to bring all their idols and their books, and they had a book burning. They had a service out yonder in which they brought everything that stood between them and God.
Amen.
And they got rid of it.
Yes, sir.
Boy, what a church they see.
Amen.
I'm talking about starting something. If you'll go over into this chapter, he even got the heathen stirred up.
Yeah.
Brother Bobby Utley says when you talk about heathen, you've got to ask which one of those over in Africa or those down Kmart.
When you
say heathen, you've got to distinguish which country you're talking about.
We
got heathen running all over Somerset, Kentucky. They dress worse than the heathen over in Africa were. They act worse than the heathen in Africa act.
Right.
And when you talk about heathen, you're just talking about somebody that is a Christ rejecter.
Yes.
Right. And so Paul, he gets things stirred up. And you'll notice over in chapter number 20, he left Ephesus. And he came back along the way, and he said, I want you Ephesus, leaders of Ephesus, to come over here to Miletus, and I want to give you a few instructions before I leave. This is the last time he ever sees this church, and he leaves it weeping, and the Bible said that they're throwing their arms around his neck and weeping, not because Paul said, I'm leaving, but because he said, you'll see my face no more.
Right.
Oh, they loved it. Now here's a church that got started.
Amen.
By the efforts of the Apostle Paul. It's not easy to start a church.
Amen.
Sure it's easy to stop one.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to stop one than it is to start one.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
I know what it is to go out and knock on doors, go into a town and rent a building and just start preaching. I know what that is. I know that is one of the most difficult things I've ever done in all the years God's called me to preach.
Right.
You go into a town and you don't have a building, you don't have anybody that's a member of the church, you don't even have a job, and you go into a town led by the Spirit of God and find you a little place to meet and worship God, and then go out and start knocking on doors. You may knock on 100 doors in one day's time and not get a single one to come to the house of God.
Right.
It's hard to start. It's easy to stop.
Yes, sir.
I want to show you something about this man, though. I want to show you how to get churches started. I want to show you what's involved in starting and stopping churches. First of all, you'll notice in this testimony of Paul, we'll find that there was plenty of witnessing going on. Oh, Paul believed that he was a witness for God.
Amen.
You know, we Baptists get up and quote, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But let's read the rest.
Amen.
He said, Amen. You shall be my witnesses. Amen. He didn't say you might be. He said, you shall be my witnesses. In Judea and Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, and he started with the law and the prophets, and he showed these two men of Emmaus, that the law and the prophets and the sons prophesied concerning him.
Yes, sir.
Now that Jesus was going to die, he was going to be buried and rise again from the dead. And then he looked at that little old band of disciples, and he said, ye are witnesses of these things.
Amen.
Has God ever done anything for you that you testify about?
Amen.
Well, I have testimony meeting. I've got some folks God ain't never done nothing for.
Yeah, that's right.
They never sold anything to. And when I run a bunch across of people that's never seen nothing or heard nothing or had anything done for them, and no wonder they can't give a testimony.
Amen.
A witness is someone that was there when it happened, and he can tell you firsthand what happened.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you, Paul, in this book of Acts, he went out witnessing. He witnessed to men of wickedness. He didn't care what the color of the stripe was down their back. Paul went to witness to them concerning
Stephen.
He witnessed to men of worth, men that had possessions and riches and made a living by wildness and ungodliness. Paul was a witness to those people.
Amen, brother.
He was a witness to men of worshiping they know not what.
Amen.
Hardest place you'd witness is in church.
Amen.
Got a bunch of these folks knee deep in religion, don't know a thing about the grace of God, sing in the choir every Sunday and sit on the pews and throw offerings in the offering plate. And make their little petitions to God, but have never had an experience of salvation. And you stand up here and try to preach them and get them to rejoice in the Lord, but they don't have anything inside of them to cause them to rejoice.
Right.
And they think that every time you preach a message, you're preaching the lost wicked sinner there.
Yeah,
most wicked people in the world are church members.
Yeah,
that's right. Go ahead, brother.
Church members. Well, Paul was speaking to Jews. He was talking to people who knew the law verbatim. He was talking to people that could write down every jot and tittle of it. He was speaking to people that had been brought up from their youth in the Word of God.
Amen.
But you see, you start churches by witnessing.
That's right.
You keep churches going
by
witnessing.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Absolutely, brother.
Shoot. You don't want to get old planet.
That's right,
man. My goodness, we can't build churches without witnesses in our side of our churches.
That's right.
Amen.
Hey, man.
That's right, Doc.
But I'll tell you, I came to visitation the other night and show you how our camp's going on. I had 26 people out for visitation.
Amen.
10 young people. How that ought to make the old ones repent.
Yeah.
I had 10 young people out for visitation. They're there every Thursday night. I want to tell you something. If there's one thing our churches need to get back to, it's this old-fashioned thing of witnessing. And you know what? Let me just stop right here. Did you know I'll confess for me, and I guarantee you that if us preachers will be honest, I'll confess for you. Also, we get sometimes so wrapped up in the pulpit and so wrapped up in the administration and so wrapped up in getting the bills paid and building the building and keeping the fans running and trying to get everybody in a good line to worship God, that oftentimes we neglect the very things that come our
Jesus.
Witness.
Yes, sir.
I found witness to start more churches.
Yeah.
And keep more churches going than any one thing we can do. Paul, when he got ready to die, he said, I continue to witness this day, both on the small and great, testifying unto them of repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And therefore, when he got through saying that, he turned to old Felix and he said, Felix, believest thou these things? I know that thou believest. He was still witness when he died.
Amen.
Amen. He left this world, said, I fought a good fight, I kept the faith, I finished the course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but unto all them that love.
Amen.
Did you know Paul got saved? And 3 days after he was saved, Acts chapter 9, he was out in the city of Jerusalem preaching Jesus. And people said, is this not the one that persecuted us? We heard about him.
Yeah.
And within a week of his conversion, he was being let down over the wall of Jerusalem in a basket,
yes,
running for his life.
Yeah.
Why? Because he was a witness.
Yes,
of the things that God had done.
Amen.
But we see in starting churches, it not only involves witnessing, it involves winning to the Lord. It's just not enough to witness.
Amen.
You know, many of us think that what we've done or witnessed is through that. Oh no, home cave, there's some sowing, and there's some planting, and there's some watering, and sooner or later God look dead when he sees enough seed's been sown, and enough water's been planted, and the soul is ready. The Bible said that God will send the increase.
Yeah.
Oh, we need to win to Christ.
Yeah.
I had an old teacher one time, I said that he went to a man's house 23 times, and said it got to the place where the men had a pot of coffee on, and sit down pouring a pot of coffee, but he'd come into the door on a Thursday night, and somebody kept saying, well, why in the world did you go back that 24th time? He said, he hadn't got saved the first 23 witnesses, and so I said, to keep on until I got him. And the 24th time, he said, the man fell on his knees and got saved. It's not enough to say, do you go to church?
Amen.
Right. Everybody's church affiliated.
Right.
We're not wanting to know if we're affiliated with the church. We're wanting to know if they know Jesus as their Savior.
Amen.
Oh, I want to tell you, Paul wasn't concerned about the religion. He was concerned about their salvation,
yes,
and their conversion to God.
Amen.
How do we win them? We win them, first of all, by preaching to them.
Amen. Yeah.
Preaching got me in.
Yeah, that's it.
When I was sitting back there in the old Lockton Baptist Church and John Rollins up there hollering and screaming at me and how these Adventists in hollering and screaming at me, I'll tell you, it didn't leave any doubt in my mind who they had picked out the priest to that night.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't go out as an innocent bystander. I'll tell you, I was brought to a point where I realized that I was either lost or saved. You know how to do that? Preaching will do that.
Yeah.
Preaching brought me to repentance.
Yes.
Preaching broke my heart. I preached and lifted up Christ before.
Yes.
I preached and reached where nothing else
is. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But pray.
Amen.
I'm glad. Oh, I'm going to pray for these fellas. Oh, to see to have a mom and dad to say. Boy, I used to go into my old house and as a boy and see my mother and dad in beside an old bed, and I didn't have the foggiest idea why they were up at 12 o'clock at night in there beside the bed talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Devil say, well, they've had a fuss and they're trying to make up and all. They hadn't been fussing, they talking to God.
Yes. Amen.
I'll tell you, there's as a boy, I want to be honest with you. As a boy, I've heard my name called by name before the throne of God, and I've heard my old dad and mom kneel beside an altar or a bed, and I've heard them mention all 7 boys and girls before God.
Amen.
And mention them by name before God.
Amen.
One by one.
Yeah.
The oldest one got saved.
Thank God.
Yeah. And then the next one got saved.
Yeah.
And the next one got saved. And the next one got saved.
Yeah.
I'd see my old mother weep at my bed, weep and
cry.
I can't listen to praying, Mother. Say, I could get a hold of God. They weren't just satisfied with their kids and religion. They wanted. had been practicing. Oh, let me go back to this. You know, some of you kids back here will understand what I'm saying. I remember going to the old one room church building, Liberty Baptist. Big old potbelly stoves that night, you know, you'd freeze in there in the wintertime and burn up in the summertime. And I can remember going to that church, and man marched us in, and he'd pick out the biggest pew on the church aisle or the church auditorium, and he'd march right there to the front of it, and he'd say, "All right, boys, get in right there." And he'd march six kids inside that pew and send the two oldest back on back. Oh, I used to hate to sit by my dad. You couldn't do this when you sit by.
Amen.
You reach over there. Shut up. Amen. You couldn't whisper in each other's ear when you sat there.
Amen.
Right. You never had to go to the bathroom about once in your lifetime. Amen. Some of these kids ain't got kidney problems. They got the squirm problem.
That's it.
Conviction problem.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Maybe.
Yes, sir. I remember if Dad ever had to go to the bathroom with us, we never had to go there after. I mean, we'd always wait until church was over.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? No.
Yeah.
All believed in respecting the house of God.
Yeah.
I still hate to see kids run out in and out and slam the door while preaching's going on.
Yeah.
I still hate to see people talking while the preaching's going on. I still hate to see people laughing. If you're going to do anything, praise God.
Amen.
I used to hate to sit by. Oh, but what a difference it made.
Yeah.
You know who outside of my wife and kids, when we're able, you know who I just soon sat with in church as anybody?
Yeah.
Brother Melvin knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
My old dad got to come to the camp meeting. I said, "Hey, Dad, come on up here on the front row and we'll sit together."
Amen.
Old Brother Raymond's, Brother Junior Sewell got up there preaching. Man, I was sitting up there eating it up, and Rudolph's over here shouting, and Melvin over here acting a fool, and my dad was sitting over there looking at me, and he just shaking his head. Oh, that blessed me. Oh, to be able to sit there. You know why I won't sit by him? Because he practiced something before me.
Amen.
I didn't hear about Jesus from some funny book.
Amen.
I didn't hear about Jesus from hearsay. I didn't hear about Jesus from some stranger.
You got that right.
I heard about it from my old dad's lips.
Yeah,
I never will forget the night before I got saved. We were up there in Cincinnati, Ohio, a revival meeting going on. And Dad's working as a carpenter, and it so happened he got rained out that day. And so he came home about 10 o'clock, and he said, "Son, would you like to go out riding with me today?" And I said, "Yes, I'd love to go riding with you. I don't know my way around this town." And so my dad got in a little car, and he pulled out using this as a block. He pulled out where these boys are, drove down that street, came down this street, and pulled right back where he pulled out. And he was trying to tell me something. And I was wondering, what in the world are we doing? And I noticed his lips were quivering. And tears in his eyes. And we sat there for 5 minutes. He didn't get John 3 or Romans 10 out and read it to me. Finally, when his lips quit quivering to where he could talk, he looked over me in the eye and he said, "Son," he said, "you're old enough to be saved." He said, "When are you going to get saved?" To me. Oh, but I knew what he's talking about because I'd seen how he lived.
Right.
Amen. That word meant more for me than anything John Rollins ever said. I love to hear him preach. Oh, God took the word of an old man that had practiced before me. Yeah. And like an arrow, the Holy Spirit shot an arrow out of conviction to my heart. And before I knew it, I was sitting there in an old car weeping and crying. Yeah. And I couldn't even answer. And I never said a word. I didn't say I want to be saved. But that night when I walked into Old Lockman Baptist Church, Brother Jay, to this day, tell you what the man preached about that night.
Yeah.
If I had to tell you what he preached, I'd doubt my salvation this afternoon. All the while he was preaching, there was the Holy Ghost of God saying, "Son, you're old enough to be saved when you're going to get saved." Son, you're old enough to get saved when you're going to get saved. Somebody would take up an offering, the Holy Ghost would say, "Son, I gave my life for you. You're old enough to be saved. When are you going to get saved?" They stood up and signed an invitation, and the Holy Ghost was saying, "Son, you're old enough to be saved. When are you going to be saved?" Before I knew it, I was down an old fashioned altar calling on the Lord Jesus to save me. Christ came in, and I looked up. Tears were streaming down my face. And I saw old mother right over on that side. And I saw old man right over on that side. What they were over there. Just tell him something. They wanted me to get the real thing.
Yes, sir.
Boy, there has to be the winning part. I won't cover this. Brother Steve covered this in great detail. There has to be the weeping part. Acts chapter number 20. I'll give you a verse on that if you want it. Acts chapter number 20. Paul said in verse number 30. He said 31. He said, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." He said, for three years I wept and I cried before God. And he said that I wanted to warn you to flee from wrath. I wanted to warn you.
Yes, amen.
Weeping shows compassion.
Yes.
I heard compassion defined as your hurt in my heart. Can you feel for a sinner? Can you feel for a sinner? I read an illustration out of a periodical. I don't know who gave this illustration, but I told our church about it Sunday. And, you know, this boy had cerebral palsy. His body was crippled, and for 20 years he worked his way, wheelchairs, pushed around, everybody helping him. And yet for 20 years, people saw nothing but a smile and compassion and love in his face. And they saw joy in his face. And so he went to college, and people would push him through his college classes. And finally, 4 years later, he graduated. Nobody asked him, "How long have you been like this? What brought it on?" They were all afraid. And finally somebody came to him and said, "John, for all these years we've pushed you in a wheelchair. Your body's been deformed. You've been helped upstairs, downstairs. And no matter whatever happened to you, you always had a smile. You always had a joy." And he said, "How in the world can you have such happiness and joy when your body is in such a shape?" And this boy with a great peace and smile on his face said, "Sir," said, "the disease has destroyed my body, but it has never reached my heart." I want to tell you, when things reach your heart,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Oh, that's where we live at.
I like it.
You can be happy laying on a sick bed.
I like it.
Or you can be happy in poverty. Oh, thank God, compassion. Weeping, it shows concern. It shows a consciousness of the peril that the sinner's in. It gripes me. It gripes me down to the innermost being that Jehovah's Witnesses are more zealous than Baptists are. But don't you look at me and that pious and hypocritical and say, "Oh, I got more zeal." We're lying.
That's right.
You let somebody new move into town, they'll be there for the Baptist week.
Right.
I believe they got people going up down the street, seeing empty houses and taking them down. And I believe they send people by just to see when somebody's moved in the house. They want them to know what they're preaching and teaching, right, which is false.
Yes,
sir.
Yeah,
right. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Right. There's weeping that goes into starting churches. There's warnings.
Yes, sir.
Hey, folks, our churches or on the battlefield.
That's right.
We're not waiting for the battle to start. It's raging full steam already.
Amen.
There's battles against our ministries. There's battle against our message.
Right.
And there's discerning battles against the man of God as he preaches the word of God.
Right.
I want to tell you, if you preach anything, it's as if the devil's out yonder just waiting to destroy you, your ministry, your message, your person, your family. He wants to wreck the churches.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And Paul had some warnings. He warned about the world. Love not the world, John says. Oh, we better beware of the world. It's not a friend of the church.
That's right.
When we have to get worldly to get the world, we've already become the world.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to be. You don't have to leave your pews to become worldly.
That's right.
You can become worldly sitting right there on the church pew.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
He warned them about wolves dressed up like sheep.
Yeah.
It's about the worst kind you get.
Yeah.
Those that do not know Christ.
Right.
They know the language, but not the practice.
Yeah.
They know the language, but they don't know the Lord of the language.
That's right.
They can use words saved, born again, but they mean an entirely different thing than we do. They say we believe in the inspired, inerrant word, as from which one?
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to tell you which one I believe. I believe the King James. The inspired. I have another one to tell thee what the King James is.
Amen.
Warnings about the wicked one. The devil is out to destroy the people of God. But you know, despite all this, despite the witnessing, the winning, the weeping, and the warnings, we come to the time that the church wavered.
Yeah.
He said you left. Hey, don't think your church is above that.
Right.
Amen.
Preacher, you leave your church, you don't know who will take over.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Sisson can tell you about a church up in North Carolina that a man pastored for almost 30-some years, running 400 and 500, one of the great churches of America. And that thing don't even have enough people in it now to pay the light bill.
What's the truth?
Got three successive preachers in there, and every one of them thought they had to turn down what he did. Well, you have to go to the church and attack the man that was before you or after you, something bad wrong with that character to start out with.
Amen.
You don't have to turn down another preacher to perform your ministry. I refuse to get in the mud.
Amen.
You don't like Charles Spurgeon's books, as they said, bring them to me. I'll read them.
That's right.
I don't have to eat the briars with it. I can pick out what good is good for me and what feeds me and what inspires me, and I'll use exactly what.
Amen.
Warnings. You left your first love. They've got people in there that said they were apostles. They didn't know a thing in the world. They're apostles. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that step into the pulpits and say that they are preachers.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy Carter's sister never was called a preacher.
That's right.
She's a liar.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, she's
a liar. Her convert proved that.
Right. Yes, indeed.
Mary Flint got her side kind of salvation.
Yes, yeah.
Mary Flint's wife got her side kind of salvation.
Yeah.
That's not a minister of the Word of God. I don't care how flowery or how important looking or what they disguise themselves in. If they haven't been saved by the grace of God, they can't possibly be a preacher of the Lord.
Yeah, right.
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 Warnings. It don't take long to leave your first love.
Right.
How many people we've married? We hear it's one love, love them alone.
Yeah.
They're in love with the bed.
Yep.
Right.
Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
They're in love with the lust of their flesh.
Right.
I don't believe you love somebody 6 months later, you gotta run down to the line and get a no-fault divorce.
Right.
Right. The mark of love.
Right.
I tell you, when the love of God was shed abroad in my heart and soul, I've loved Him ever since.
Amen.
My trouble is I don't love Him as fervently.
Yes, sir.
And purely and holy as I ought to.
Right, right.
A lot of people left their first love.
Right.
They're wavering.
Amen.
Sunday morning crowd has wavered a long time ago.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You preachers been preaching long enough. Listen, I'm going to close with this. I didn't mean to take this long. But you've been preaching long enough to know when you've had somebody in your church and you've seen them fervent for God.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes. That word fervent means red hot.
Yes.
Amen. You've seen them on fire for God, and they have to run, and they're loud, and they're boisterous, and they're not afraid. They're like the man that got his sign. The first thing he did is he took a run and go down the temple, hotter and tired of what Jesus said done for him. I got a sermon I preached on unrebuked disobedience. You don't think that's in there, do you? Jesus would heal somebody and said, don't tell anyone, just go back to the house. And the Bible said they'd run all over the place telling what Jesus did.
Right.
You ever see anybody get saved, couldn't tell it?
Huh?
I mean, you can't help it, but if you try to keep it secret for long,
yes.
I couldn't wait to get out of church when I got saved. I wanted somebody to know what I
did.
Jesus and said, don't tell no one now. My goodness alive, I'd have busted before I got home.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something.
Amen.
Fervent. If you've ever seen anybody first, there's not a man of God here today in touch with the Lord. What you can't tell when they start to cool off.
Yeah.
You ever see a red hot piece of metal?
Oh.
When it begins to cool, that old red hot glow begins to leave. And if left to itself, sooner or later, that old piece of metal will get as cold as a piece of ice up in the fridge, in the freezer. Folks, let's don't leave our first love.
Amen.
Let's start with the church and finish with it.
Amen.
Yes, Father, sir. Thank you for your precious word. Have it in our heart that we might not sin against thee.
Yeah.
We praise in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.